As we begin with our time of reflecting on the word together, let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we are a people of faith. We may not have the faith that we want, but we have enough. We have the faith that brings us here, that brings us back together week after week. For we long to be more like you. To be someone who is able to do remarkable things. To be someone who is so passionate about transforming our world and facing all the injustices that surround us. The waves are massive. They crash down on us every day. Do not let the waves deter us, O Lord. Amen. Only Matthew includes this story of Peter's brief walk on the water. Mark has a story about Jesus coming across the sea and calming the storm. John uses an even shorter version of it. Luke leaves it out altogether. But only Matthew mentions Peter. And I'm guessing this is the version that you all are most familiar with. It's the one we teach our children during Sunday school. And that's because there's just something so appealing and relatable about Peter. There's something that you just can't help be drawn towards. He's one of those magnetic people who draw you in because he's honest and vulnerable, curious, and most often wrong, which makes him just like everyone else who dares to be authentic. Peter is the brash, passionate disciple who is always rushing into things, saying what others are only thinking, doing what others may long to, but are too afraid to do. When Jesus hikes the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter is one of those disciples that Jesus takes with him. And while the other disciples there are dumbfounded by the sight of Jesus conversing with Moses and Elijah, it's Peter who blurts out, "Lord, if you wish, I'll make three booths here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." What a silly thing for Peter to say, and yet what a human thing to say. It's Peter who always asks Jesus to explain his parables. Peter who answers Jesus' questions first. Peter, who understands Jesus' true identity, but fails to understand the cost it entails. It's Peter's confession that Jesus calls the foundation of the church, one moment before his next confession leads Jesus to call him Satan. It is Peter who objects to having Jesus wash his feet, and Peter, who after Jesus explains the meaning of foot washing, screams out, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." It is Peter who vows that he will never deny Jesus. And yet it's Peter who does. It is Peter who Jesus asks to pray with him in the garden, and Peter who falls asleep. And in today's story, it's Peter who Jesus calls to walk on him up with the waters, and it's Peter who sinks. Over and over again, Peter is the disciple who dares to take risks, who isn't afraid to make great leaps of faith, and yet he is the disciple that stumbles more than anyone else. But when he does, what's so amazing about Peter is he never seems deterred. Peter just brushes himself off, gets up, and tries again. It's hard not to love Peter. Sure, Peter is one of those enthusiastic types who talk a better game than they play, but there's just something so sincere and achingly familiar about him. He is full of faith one minute and full of doubt the next, riding high on his confidence in Jesus at one moment, and the next we find him lying in the dirt. Peter is not a fake. Through all his many ups and downs, all his great moments and awful ones, Peter's heart is always on his sleeve. Peter is fully present. What you see is what you get. An outspoken man who loves Jesus deeply and yet always finds a way to let him down. At the beginning of today's story, Peter and all the other disciples have been sent ahead by Jesus so that Jesus could have some space and time to be by himself in the mountains so that he can pray and recharge. When nightfall comes, Jesus is still at it. But now the disciples find themselves with their hands full, trying to steer their little boat right into a high wind and higher waves. It must have been a horrendous storm. After all, many of these disciples, they used to be fishermen. Surely they had been caught up in bad storms before. By the time Jesus reaches them, they are soaked, their teeth chattering, their hands blistered from their efforts. It's 3 a.m, Matthew says, and no one can sleep even if they want to. They are all watching the horizon, praying to see land, measuring the distance that they have come against the distance they still have to go. When suddenly someone spots a shadowy figure walking across the water towards them. "It's a ghost," one of the disciples cries. But immediately the figure speaks and says, "Take heart, it is I, do not fear." His voice must have sounded strange through the storm. Or maybe he is still too far away to see, because Peter does not trust him. Scared to death, putting into words what the others do not dare to say, it is Peter who says, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you upon the waters." Now that's an odd thing to say, isn't it? If it was me, I would have said, "Lord, please make this storm stop." Or, "Lord, please help us get safely across to the other side." But that's not the test that Peter proposes. And I believe that says a lot about Peter and the type of person he is. Peter is less concerned with his safety, and instead he is completely focused upon doing what Jesus can do. "Lord, let me join you on the waters. Show me that I can do what you can do. Lord, take away my doubt. Make me have faith." "Come," Jesus says, and Peter does. While all the other disciples watch, as Tori mentioned, it's Peter who swings his legs over the side of the boat. He places his feet on the surface of the water, the waves still crashing against the side of the boat, the wind whipping his hair into his eyes. He puts his feet flat on the top of the water and takes a huge, trembling breath and stands. Then he takes a few hesitant steps towards Jesus. All is well until a huge gust of wind almost topples him over and he becomes scared. Next, he feels his feet sinking into the black waves below and he goes down like a stone. Even if you've never tried walking on water, you know how Peter felt that day. In college, I remember trying to impress a girl by crossing over a rushing stream on a small fallen log. At first, I was fine. I inched slowly across that log's rough, round surface. But then I looked down. The rushing water must have frightened me. I lost my balance, fell sideways off that log, and before I even knew what happened, I found myself completely soaking wet in the water. Or maybe you know what Peter felt by remembering the first time you learned how to ride a bike. That first time you gained enough speed so that suddenly you stopped wobbling and you just started flying. The blood rushing through your veins, the wind in your hair, the scenery whipping by. And then suddenly, you realized how fast you were going, and you lost your confidence. So you dropped one of your feet to the ground and brought that whole experiment down, crashing right on top of you. Or maybe if you've ever addressed a group of people, you know what Peter experienced. Standing up in front of a crowd, talking about something that you're passionate about. At first, the words perfectly spew from your mouth. Exactly the words you need at exactly the moment you need them. But then you glance out at the faces looking back at you. And you see someone who's confused or uninterested. And quickly you lose your nerve. Your brain turns to mush. The words just stop coming. And all you can think about is finding some way to wrap things up immediately so you can just sit back down. Lord, save me. Those are the only words left for Peter to cry out. And the text says that immediately Jesus does. Immediately Jesus reaches out his hand, catches him, and hauls him out of that cold water like a big frightened fish. And then he drags him over to where the disciples can pull him back into the boat. And then those awful words, "Oh man of little faith, why did you doubt?" Those are the words that none of us ever want to hear spoken to us. And yet, if we're honest, these are the same words many of us ask every day to ourselves. Why don't I have more faith? Why is it so difficult for me to believe? Why can't I trust God here? Why am I so afraid of letting go of controlling my life? Why do I doubt? Why is it that even though I know that my life is firmly in God's hands, that whenever I lose my job or the stock market crashes, or when all these storms that rage around me never cease to cease, that my faith goes with them and my life seems like it's sinking? Why do we doubt? Because we are afraid. Because the sea is so vast and we are so small. Because the storm is so powerful and we are so easily sunk. Because no matter how much we try to convince ourselves otherwise, life is beyond our control and we are so helpless in its grip. Why do we doubt? Because we are afraid even when we have faith. Because we do have faith, you know. We do not have none, we have some. Like Peter, we have a little. And a little is enough for God, even if a little doesn't seem like it's enough to save us. Like Peter, we have faith and we have doubt. We try to walk with Jesus, and yet we often fail. We take a few steps and then we sink. We cry out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus does, giving us first his hand and then a slight challenge. Why did you doubt? I know that most of us, when we hear those words, we count ourselves as failures. But I don't think Jesus means the words that way. I mean, can you really imagine the story turning out any other way? I mean, what if Peter had not sunk? What if Peter had just lunged out of the boat with complete confidence, landed both feet of his flat on the water, and then ran towards Jesus without hesitation, completely oblivious to the stormy waves and the winds? What if the others saw this and then decided that they can follow suit? So they piled out of that boat after Peter and Jesus, all of them, all with perfect faith, romping on the water while the storm raged and lightning split the dark night above their heads. That sure would be a different story. Maybe if some of you would even think it's a better story. But that story would not be a story about us. The truth is, that all of our lives are a lot more complicated. Our lives are full of times of obedience and also times of fear. Times when we walk and times when we sink. Moments when we believe and many more when we doubt. It's not like we only do one or the other. We do both. Faith and doubt are not mutually exclusive. They exist in us at the same time, buoying us up and bearing us down, giving us courage and feeding our fears. In fact, it's not even fair to say that faith and doubt are opposites. It is our faith that fuels our doubts and our doubts that lead us to faith. Psychologist Rollo May once stated, "The relationship between commitment and doubt is by no means an antagonistic one. Commitment is healthiest when it is not without doubt, but in spite of doubt." And no one teaches us better about this than Peter. It is Peter's doubts about it being Jesus that forced him out of the boat in the first place. And it was Peter's doubt when the winds picked up that led him straight into the arms of his Lord. Peter's doubts are what saved him. It was his doubt that led him straight to the presence of Jesus. Our doubts, they are what lead us to faith. They are what remind us that we need Jesus. If we never sank, if we could just walk on the water fine by ourselves, we would have no need for a Savior. We could handle everything ourselves. Our doubts remind us who we are, how small we are, and who we need in our lives to save us. When we sink, as we all do, our Lord reaches out and catches us, responding first with grace, and then God asks, "Why did you doubt?" Not to condemn us, but in hopes of transforming our doubts into deeper faith. And most importantly, when we sink, God always returns us to the boat. Because God knows very well that the only reason we are in this boat in the first place is because we believe or want to believe and are trying to follow Jesus even through all of our doubtful days. When we sink, God always returns us to the boat. God returns us to our companions, to one another, where our friends are waiting happily to grab us by the scruff of our neck and haul us back overboard. And as we are laying grateful, yet exhausted on that slippery deck, all at once, the wind seems to slightly die down. The waves, they hush a bit. And all that is left for all of us who are in that boat together is to worship Jesus by saying, "Thank you, for truly you are the Son of God." Amen.